This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
En ons gebede gaan uit na die familie en vriende van die mense wat oorlede is. Maar nou is dit eers tyd om te gesels met professor Dion Foster van die Vrye Universiteit Amsterdam en Universiteit Stellenbosch. Goeiemôre, good morning and welcome.
Hey Anton, oh, it's such a tragedy to hear about that bus accident, and indeed we pray for the families of those who've lost loved ones. And Don, also just to mention, many of our listeners will know Pastor Andy Pitt. He was a pastor in Somerset West at the Baptist Church and was one of the founders of Sunsurf in the Strand. And he also passed away in Australia last night. For the last year or so, he'd been suffering with a muscular degenerative disease. And so we just send blessings to his wife, Debbie, and their kids, and to all who remember Andy. Yeah, life can be difficult, eh?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, Anton, so this week I happen to be in Rome. Can you imagine it? The Eternal City. I'm here to speak at a conference yesterday and today, and later today I have some meetings with, as you know, I'm a Methodist, with the Methodist representatives to the Vatican, so I have some meetings there later this afternoon. And oh my goodness, Rome has been scorching. It's close to 40 degrees every day. And, you know, I must say, I'm no longer accustomed to the heat, you know. I'm no longer accustomed to the heat. But Anton, what I'd like to talk about today is a passage that I came across yesterday, John chapter 8 in my devotion. So as many of our listeners know, I follow the Lectio 365 and was reading the passage yesterday of the woman caught in adultery. Now, listen to even the way in which that is described. If you look at the Bibles that we use, English, Afrikaans, isiXhosa, you'll often see these little headings that have been added over the passages. And of course, those didn't exist in the original texts. They were added by later translators and publishers of Bibles, just to make the texts, you know, break them into sort of thematic areas. But that little heading, the woman caught in adultery, of course, is already something of a challenge, because how is it possible that only a woman could be caught in adultery? Where is the man with whom she was committing the act of adultery? So this kind of framing already tells us something about the ways in which we think about sin and judgment. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about that today, if I can. The reality is, Anton, all of us as human beings have a sort of extraordinary ability to decide who and what is right and who is wrong and who deserves our affirmation and who deserves our judgment. I mean, you just have to stand in a queue at the bank during your lunch hour and someone pushes to the front and you immediately know there's this innate sense. All of you say, hey, the back of the queue is over there. Now, this parable in John chapter 8, if you think about it, that this would be included in the Gospels, that out of every single thing that Jesus did in his ministry and life, this particular story gets included, tells us something very important about what the Lord wanted us to learn. Again, for our listeners, just to think about this, you know, the writing of the Gospels was not something easy like today. We just type a message out on our phones. There were very few people who could write, number one. And number two, the resources for writing, so paper and ink, these things were incredibly scarce. So when they put together the gospel narratives, they made some absolutely critical choices about what to include and exclude. And John's gospel in particular even shows us, it sort of opens up that choice. If you go and read John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, you'll see there that the writer of the gospel says, you know, Jesus did many other things and said many other things, but what we have included here, we included because they may continue to help you in your faith, may continue to help you to believe. So here Jesus is, this woman, he tells the story of this woman who is brought before the Schriftgeleerdes, you know, those teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And people want to stone her. They condemn her. And the reality is that even in that act, we can see that the judgment is somewhat skewed. It's possible that even the man with whom she was committing adultery might have been in that crowd, that he was one of those who was condemning there. And of course, the teachers of the law, they want to trap Jesus, and he avoids that trap. So what they're trying to do is set up a kind of false dichotomy, a tension between mercy and justice. And so they ask him, you know, what are you going to do about this? And Jesus, instead of immediately condemning the woman, quietly bends down and he writes in the dust. Now, this is one of the mysteries of the Gospels. We don't know what he wrote there. He might have written something about the law. It's interesting, by the way, that Jesus himself could write. It says something exceptional about him. We know he spent some time in the temple, so it's possible he learned to write there. Some scholars say perhaps he wrote the name of the man with whom she was caught. Whatever he was writing in the sand there, we don't know. What we do know is that Jesus avoids this kind of trap of saying we have to do one thing or the other. So he then responds and he says, let any of you who is without sin be the first one to throw a stone. Now that I think is also an important part of the telling of the story. Note that Jesus doesn't say that sin doesn't matter. He clearly notices there's a sin. So he says, it's not that the sin doesn't matter, but he says, be careful that in seeing that sin, you don't allow yourself to sin. The second thing he also doesn't say is he doesn't say that justice is unimportant. He simply reminds those who are accusing to say, listen, when it comes to holding someone accountable for their wrongdoing, remember that you are not morally superior. So this, I think, is a lesson that we can take away from this story. One of the lessons, if we look at it, that it always begins, our judgment of others must always begin with a sense of self-examination. Let me say one thing further, Anton. So the other thing that really struck me when I was reading this passage is that mercy and truth always belong together. You know, when they leave without having stoned her, Jesus turns to the woman and he says, you know, neither do I condemn you. I'm also not going to condemn you. But notice what he says next. He's not just saying, listen, I'm not condemning you because you didn't sin or anything like that. He says, I'm not going to condemn you in this moment, but leave your life of sin behind. Go and sin no more, some translations say. So this for me is another thing. You know, I've done many things wrong in my life and I'm grateful that God is gracious and I'm grateful that I belong to a community that bears the name of Christ, the Christian church, that is gracious and compassionate. But I'm also gracious that they hold my feet to the fire, that they hold me responsible, that they say to me, even though you are forgiven, you have to be transformed. We're not going to humiliate you, but we need you to know that you have to live a different kind of life. So this is the last thing maybe to mention. That approach to sin, we can see, is deeply restorative. It's not meant to other the person. It's not meant to break them down, to humiliate them. It says, what can I do to restore you to the kind of life that you should be living? So Anton, I was quite deeply challenged by that this week. And, you know, as I've been focusing over the last little while on this thing of dealing with others, recognizing others, particularly the vulnerable, the strangers in our midst, this story just struck me. So one last verse, James chapter 2, verse 13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. So yeah, may the Lord give us wisdom and grace and make us more Christ-like. Help us to de-escalate situations, to be truthful and self-reflective, and to help to restore people.
Absolutely. Amen to that. All right. Enjoy Rome or Italy and try and stay cool. I mean, you said it's close to 40 degrees there. Sure. So, yeah. Enjoy it, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Anton. God bless you. Bye then.
Bye. En dit was professor Dion Forster van de Vrye Universiteit Amsterdam en Universiteit Stellenbosch. So dit is nou 25 minute oor 8 gepraat hier die San Kaapse Kansel en dan oor so 5 minute van nou dan gesels ek weer met 'n kunstenaar Stuart M. En hy is een van die kunstenaars wat gaan optree by die by môre aand se lofprysings en aanbiddingsaand wat aangebied word. So ja, daar's gaan vir jou meer detail daaroor gee so 'n bietjie later. Maar ons sien uit daarna, dit is as ek sê oor so 5 minute van nou net hier op Radio Design Kaapse Kansel.
Get up and go breakfast.
what's old and make it new. What was lost, you've renewed. All my sin and guilt and shame, by your blood no more remains. You sent your spirit from above to come and dwell and live in us. And by this power we declare, the kingdom of our God is here. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Jesus Christ, anointed one, we will sing of all you've done. You're sending us to do your works, declaring heaven here on earth. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. I am dead to sin and I am dead to shame. I'm alive 'cause you rose again. I am dead to sin and I am dead to shame. I'm alive 'cause you rose again. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me.
With Christ, the new creation co en is Radio Die Sound Kaapse Kansel en net hierna dan gesels ek met Stuart M wat natuurlik by ons lofprysings en aanbiddingsaand gaan wees. Hier is die detail daaroor.
Join Cape Pulpit for a powerful evening of praise, worship and fellowship as believers from across Cape Town come together to lift the name of Jesus. As we reflect on all that God has done for Cape Pulpit in the first half of the year, we're coming together again to seek His guidance and presence for the months ahead. Don't miss the Praise and Worship evening happening this Friday, the 3rd of July at 6 p.m. at Red Harbour Church in Cape Town. Tickets are just 60 Rand and space is limited to only 250 attendees. So be sure to book your spot today via Quicket. Featuring incredible local artists Tristan Ahrens, Stuart M, Just Zach, Salby Williams, and Siwa Piwek Weyama. Come expectant. Bring your friends and family. And be part of a night dedicated to glorifying God and strengthening our faithful community. For more details, contact Warren on 071-606-7146 or email us at info@capepulpit.co.za. Come, Let's worship together.
So there you have it. And via Zoom, joining me in studio, we've got one of the artists, Stuart M. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Morning, how are you doing?
I'm all right, and you?
Good, good.
Okay, awesome. So, Stuart, for listeners meeting you for the first time, tell us more about you. Who is Stuart M beyond the music?
I'm a husband, I'm a father of three boys, I'm a musician, I'm a sports lover.
Oh, three boys, that's wonderful. So,
I'm sure you're enjoying the World Cup as well.
Yeah, so Stuart, you've worn many hats, you know, worship leader, songwriter, producer, teacher, and musician. Which role feels most natural to you and why?
I think teaching. I've been, my profession, my day job is a music teacher. I've been teaching since I was 15 years old. I'm teaching in the community, teaching other kids, other people how to play music. And I think having that teaching skill, it's invaluable, because my wife says I have patience for days because I teach not only at public school, but I also teach at special needs school as well. So having that teaching heart, it's something that I think comes naturally to me.
Mm. Okay, so you said you started teaching from the age of 15, but surely you kind of felt the calling before that.
Yeah, no, and when I was younger, I think growing up in church, I always wanted to be a musician. And then the church I was involved with, the musicians didn't want to teach the younger kids. So I think when I was like 9 or 10 years old, I decided one day when I'm big, when I'm older, I'm going to not let other kids go by without teaching them as well. So I've been teaching as long as I can remember.
So, Stuart, looking back, is there maybe a defining moment that, you know, changed the direction of your musical journey?
I think growing up in the church, I grew up in a house where we were not allowed to listen to any secular music. So the gospel music that I listened to kind of changed my perspective on music. So I think for my generation, it was Kirk Franklin was the first one to come up with a different style and a different sound of music. So just his music in the beginning, and Fred Hammond in the beginning, that kind of shaped my musical journey for myself. And then I always knew that I would like to become an artist one day, just listening to those music. And then I think at the age of 18, a couple of gospel bands in the industry approached me to come play with them on the keyboard. So I played for New Birth, and I played for a lot of artists when I was as a young musician. And then from there, I started my own band long time ago called TC. And then from then, I branched out onto my own now. So that's my journey.
Would you say that, you know, leading worship, that it maybe shaped the way you write songs or not?
Yes, I've always been leading worship. I think I was a worship leader since I was 15, and we had a small youth. We probably had like maybe 15 to 20 kids in the youth. So I would lead worship for 15 to 20 kids, and that's how I started leading worship. And I think you can't call yourself a Christian artist or a gospel artist if you're not able to lead a couple of people in worship. And if you do get Christian artists that are in different genres of music, but I think every Christian artist should be able to worship. I think that's a very important part of being a Christian artist. That's what separates you from everyone else, is being able to worship.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, tell us about your latest release, Without Your Grace. What exactly inspired that song, and what do you hope listeners will take away from it?
Yeah, that specific song, I think every songwriter has a different journey of how they act. For me, I believe that God, I'm just a vessel, and God downloads the music through me. So that song came from beginning to end in about 10 minutes. Every lyric, every chord, every melody came in, it came so quick. And that's very unusual for songs to come that quick. So that's the journey for that specific song. But I recorded a full album around the COVID time, just after COVID time. And I'm busy releasing every couple of months. I release a new song when it's done editing, because I'm doing all the editing myself, so it takes a bit of time to get it all done. So there's a bunch of music coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask you about new releases coming. Do you want to maybe mention some?
Yeah, no, I don't want to put pressure on myself to mention any names, but there'll be because I'm doing the editing and I'm taking my time, and it's a journey. So it'll come out. I'll probably do 4 songs before the end of the year.
Okay. So one of your missions in life is to tell, you know, the world about Jesus. So how does that mission influence the songs you write?
Yeah, I think for Christian music and gospel music especially, the message is very important. I think sticking to the gospel message about Jesus and how he died for your sins and he's there for you in every aspect of your life, that's mission number one. And telling the world that there are alternatives to the life they are living. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be in bondage. You don't have to be in sin. There is an alternative, and his name is Jesus. So as a Christian artist, we have to put that message in our forefront. And if we go to an event and we sing a song and we don't tell the world about Jesus, I don't think we're fulfilling our calling as a Christian then.
Yeah. I guess, as Stuart, you know, every artist faces challenges. Not even just every artist, everybody faces challenges. There been a season where your faith carried you through a very difficult time?
Yes, every Christian goes through challenges. I think COVID was a difficult time for everybody as well. The world was unsure of what was happening. We didn't know where we're going to get at. For some people, food was even an issue. Getting to a grocery store and having that, getting through that season, especially, was a difficult time for most people, and also for me and my family. And it was a difficult journey also because immediately during, like, at the end of the COVID period, we also had an opportunity to move to Dubai. So we lived in Dubai for a season as well during COVID, wearing our masks in Dubai, flying with the masks. And so it was a challenging season, but we got through it with God's help.
And just maybe, is there a specific scripture that you'd say anchored you in this season?
Yeah, when me and my wife, when we were engaged and we were planning to get married, one of the good pieces of advice that our pastor gave us is that we need to find a scripture that will anchor us for the rest of our marriage that we can always get back to. And it's Matthew 7:25. The rain came and the wind blew, but the house was built on a rock. So that's our scripture for at least for me, for the rest of my life. That doesn't matter what circumstances have come, as long as your house and your faith is built in the rock, you'll withstand everything.
Absolutely. Stuart, thank you very much for joining us on the show today, and we look forward to hearing you tomorrow night.
Yes, awesome. I can't wait.
Fantastic. Bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.